Good morning. Go ahead and take a seat. Welcome, Christ Church. It's good to see you this morning. I hope you had a great Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas? Yeah? That doesn't sound too good. Well, it is good to see you. My name's Chet. I'm the campus pastor here. If we have not met, I'd love to meet you. If you're a guest with us, we got a gift for you, so make sure to grab it. But I want to just say a special thank you for all who served on Christmas and Christmas Eve, all who invited. We had record services. It was awesome. And thank you, so many people volunteered for every service. We had like 5 services in just a couple days. How many people were at the 2:00? That was crazy, wasn't it? Pretty sure several fire codes were broken, but who's counting? You know what I'm saying? But thank you so much. What an awesome way to share Christ and to celebrate him. And just a couple things coming up. So next Sunday, we'll be back to 9:30 and 11. And then January 9th, our Thursday services will return. So we'll be back 6:30, so we'll have 3 options coming up soon. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And today is the last Sunday of the year. Where'd 2024 go? Anybody feel like that? Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, I love thinking about how to end the year well. You know, I'm sure that there's been parts of this year that have gone good for you. I pray that's true. I'm sure there's parts that have been tough. Maybe parts that have been really, really tough. And so I always like to think, like, no matter what happened this year, how can we end well? If it hasn't been great, it doesn't mean we still can't end it well. And if it has been great, well, all the more reason to see it through to the end. And I'm always drawn at the end of the year to Psalm 103. And here's what it says. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." But I want to encourage you today as we end this year to bless the Lord. He doesn't need our blessings, but we need to bless him. Our soul needs that. And I want to encourage you in these moments together that we have in the service today to think about the things that God has done for you this year. And to think about all the things you're grateful for, but then I want you to take it one step further. To move from gratitude to adoration. Adoration is when we look at the things that God has done for us and we take it one step further and we say, "And what kind of God would do these things for me?" And then you begin to think about, God, I was doing this a little bit this morning. I was thinking about all the things that God's done for me this year, all the things that I'm grateful and thankful for. And then I started asking myself, and what kind of God would do this for me? And I thought, well, he'd have to be really, really patient because I'm pretty sure I'm annoying. He has to be incredibly merciful because I don't deserve all this. He has to be incredibly gracious. And so I want you to have some moments of adoration as we end this year. Sound good, church? And I think God is worthy of it, and God deserves it. Well, today we've got a special speaker here. Miss Aubrey's going to be preaching. Come on up here. And one of the things that I love about our church is we are a church that loves to develop and empower people. I gave my first sermon when I was 19. I'm just a couple years older than that now. But what I love about the church is that it poured into me and invested in me. And Aubrey's been part of this group where we've been studying theology and preaching and teaching and learning and growing together. And I love that culture of our church. So I'm going to say a prayer, a blessing over her today. And would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, I thank you for my sister Aubrey. I thank you for the good word that you've been working in her heart. I pray, Lord, as we come to the end of this year, that, Father, all that you want to do in us would happen. I pray, Father, that we could have moments of just adoration for you. We could worship you. We could honor you. We could remind ourselves of the greatness of who you are. I pray you'd bless Aubrey. I pray your good word would come through her. I pray that Christ would be glorified. And I pray, Father, you'd put a guard on her lips and all that you want to speak through her would be made clear to our hearts through your Spirit. And I ask all this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, would you just stand up now and say hi to the people around you?
Well, good morning, church. I am so grateful for everyone here this morning. And for those who are online, can we just send them a little bit of love? Because I'm sure we have a lot of our church family tuning in there. Well, as Chet said, my family and I, we've been attending Christ Church here for a little over 5 years. And Christ is so, so good. He has changed my life in ways that I didn't even think was possible, and I am so grateful for. So my husband's here. We have 4 beautiful children. 3 of them are in their room, and my oldest guy decided to hang out with mom this morning, so that's super special. But yeah, I'm just so grateful to be here, and with that, I'm going to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this Sunday. I thank you for the work that you have prepared in my heart this year to be able to share this message with who is ready to hear it and receive it, Lord. Father, I pray that it blesses each and every person here and those online, and most importantly, that it honors you. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk about partnering with the helper today, and I'm so excited to share this message with you because, as Chet said, in a couple short nights, we are going to be sending 2024 out the door and bringing a new year in. And maybe that's really exciting for you. Maybe 2024 wasn't very good, but maybe it was really great, so you have really high hopes for the next year. I know for me, when 2024 started, I was what I like to call a hot mess express, okay? I was dealing with a lot of anxieties over things that, in hindsight, really didn't matter. But anxieties over things that did matter. I had some concerns over my health. I had concerns over some broken relationships that I had that I knew I needed to mend to honor God. Oh my gosh, you guys, I was going to experience my first year of having a teenager. My son turned 13 a couple weeks ago, and then with him getting older, that means mom's getting older too, right? I was going to turn a big number. I was going to be 40, and that was terrifying for me for whatever reason. So I had a lot going on, and if you know me, you know I don't like to be vulnerable, which means I don't like to ask for help because that is symbolizes weakness in me. But I knew if I really wanted to accomplish the goals that I set for myself, that I needed to ask for help. I needed somebody that I could trust above all things. And as a matter of fact, that was the word of the year that I picked for myself in 2024 was trust. Which you would think trusting in God would be easy, but when you're a control freak like me, it's kind of not. So he has been so amazing in my life this year. I knew that I needed to ask him for help, but most importantly, listen to him and allow him to guide me, and most importantly, I needed to obey him. So let's take a look at what Jesus has to say about the helper. So the scripture today is going to be in John 14, John 14, verses 15 through 26. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to that. It's John 14, 15 through 26. Now, this is at the Last Supper. Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he's explaining to them about the Holy Spirit, his promise of the Holy Spirit. And it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him." And underline this, "for he dwells with you and will be in you." Here's another important underline. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, and this is just explaining that it's not the Judas that betrayed him. Apparently, Judas was a very popular name, like Bob. So this is like saying, like, Bob, but not Bob Vandermark. He needed a lot of assurance. He said, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." And this is the big thing here. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Now that is a lot to unpack, but there's a lot of good nuggets in there. So today, I want to break it down into three simple concepts. We're going to talk about, number one, who is the Helper? Number two, what is his work? And number three, and most importantly, how do we partner with him to receive his help? So number one, who is the Helper? Well, the Helper is the Holy Spirit. Imagine coming downstairs in the morning or walking into your kitchen, making a cup of coffee or tea, and sitting down at your table, and Jesus Christ himself is right there. Like, you could have a conversation with Jesus Christ right there. Well, in the scripture that we just read, Jesus is saying, this Helper, it's better than me being right here with you, because the Holy Spirit is actually God in you, God in us. That's better. That's like unlike any other gift you can have. So knowing that the Holy Spirit is God, knowing that it's God in us. And our God is what we call a triune God. That's like a fancy word. It's three in one. So our God is made up of one God, but three persons. So we have God the Father, we have God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to know is, if you were like me, I thought that there was like a little bit of hierarchy there. Like God the Father was like the most important, and then there was Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit like as an afterthought. And that's not true. There's no hierarchy there. They're all equally God, but they have different functions for our life. They have the same character, the same essence, the same qualities of love and mercy. But they're all God. They have different functions for our life. So I was trying to figure out a way I could like make that simple, like liken the Holy Trinity to like something, and I couldn't because there's literally nothing like it. But what I did find was this quote that made me laugh. It says, "If you don't believe in the Trinity, you'll lose your soul, but if you try to understand it, you'll lose your mind." And that's that's like right on point. But I can tell you that they've been together, working together, one God since the foundation of the world. And as a matter of fact, when you read your Bible all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit are working together. And I think the clearest story in the Bible that points out the three of them working together would be Jesus' baptism. So he comes forward, Jesus, God, the invisible God made visible. He's baptized, he raises from the water, and then God the Father, his voice, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then we see the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. So that's an example of the three of them working together. But the biggest takeaway here is the helper is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit lives in you and me. So, what is his work? That's point number two. Well, his work is so great in our lives, church. There are so many, but I don't want to be up here like Chet and preach for 2 hours. So I'm only going to talk about a couple ways the Holy Spirit works in our life. And the good news is his work is greater than what we think. So number one I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit brings us spiritual life. So before Christ, before God pursued me, I was dead in my spirit, okay? I had no spiritual life. But when I accepted Christ into my heart, he gave me spiritual life. We're never truly connected to God until he first connects with us. And I want to talk to you about, you know, the sun in our solar system, okay? That sun holds our solar system together. The light, the warmth, it gives the earth life. It holds everything together. Without it, we would be floating around in space somewhere as an ice cube. Just like that, the Holy Spirit is our sun. It brings us to life, and I'm so thankful for that. Like it said in the scripture, he will teach you. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to be your teacher. And there's different ways that he teaches us. I could list a ton, but I'm going to focus on two. He teaches us with external factors, and he teaches us with like internal factors, the way we react, the way we think. He helps us in a bunch of different ways, through the word, listening to a sermon, a book, a podcast. I want to give you an example of a way that he worked in my life personally, like internally. You know, those like soft whispers or those like thoughts that pop into your head that are super gentle and loving. I am a sports mom, okay? I have 4 kids. They all play something. My oldest son plays soccer. He did his whole life. And I don't know if you know anything about soccer, but it can get a little chippy, okay? There's a lot of shoulders and elbows and arms and like tripping and all sorts of things, and it can get a little violent. And I grew up in a long line of reactive women when there's conflict, okay? So like if I get heated about something, my human reaction is to pounce and like lose my whole mind, and it's never a good thing. It never is, and that was something that I knew I had to work on this year. So we're at this soccer game, this tournament, and there is just this parent from the other team encouraging violence. Like, oh my gosh, it was bad. They were losing. He was mad about it. He was, oh, you guys, and I'm sitting there, and I'm fuming, and I'm boiling, and my husband wasn't there, because he's the one that usually keeps me in check. He'll, like, give me the look, or he'll, like, squeeze my hand, or clear his throat, and I know that, like, that's my cue to, like, simmer, but he wasn't there. In church, I lost my patience. I lost my mind, my whole entire mind. I mean, I chewed this guy up one side, across, down the other. I don't even know what I said. I think I blacked out. It was so bad. And I'm telling you, like, have you ever disappointed someone that you really love? Like a parent? And if they don't yell at you, you're shocked. But when they say the words, that really disappointed me, you feel it so much deeper. oh my gosh, that's like the worst thing. And I immediately felt with the most gentle, loving compassion, the Holy Spirit say, daughter, Aubrey Grace, that is not who I called you to be. What are you doing? That is not how you love. Church, I was so embarrassed. I was cringy. That's what my preteen daughter would say. That was so cringy, Mom. It was. And I immediately felt bad. It was not a good representation of what God had called me to be. But it was a teaching. It was a teaching experience. And ever since that day, 3 years ago, I'm pretty good at biting my tongue, I must say. And it's not because of me. Believe that. It's because of the Holy Spirit. And you can ask my friend Melinda. She's here somewhere. There she is. We were at a basketball game together a couple weeks ago. I did not say anything. As a matter of fact, we like smiled and giggled over all the other parents that were like losing their minds around us. So if you see me at a sporting event, you can sit next to me. I do keep my mouth shut. It'll be great. But the Holy Spirit, he also teaches us from outward sources. So like I mentioned, the Bible, it's the living, breathing word of God, sermons, whatever it is. He also uses people. So this message I've been working on pretty much all year. I was supposed to share it a few times this year, but here we are at the end, the very last Sunday of the year. And it was because I was struggling with a lot of things in my personal life. I told you that when I started this year, it was not a good year for me. I knew that there was a lot of work that needed done, and it wasn't going to be for my doing. Like, I needed a literal miracle worker because I knew God was calling me to something higher than I could have brought myself to. And I was in my feelings. I came up to this church. I was going over these sermon notes. Chet and Tina, bless them. I'm so blessed with some incredible people in my life because of this church. And there are two of them. But I was just going through it. And it wasn't even the sermon. It was like what's going on in my personal life. I had this friendship that was like on the rocks. And I am actually, you guys, I'm a very, introverted. I'm an introverted person. They call me an extroverted introvert, okay? Like crowds and stuff, they really, exhaust me. And Chet, I swear, he kept preaching on the importance of community, community, community. And I didn't want to hear it because I like to put walls up and shrink in on myself and kind of keep to myself. And I knew that I needed to reconcile those relationships. I knew I needed community. And I'm telling you, my flesh, which is a fancy Christian word for my human nature, and my spirit were like at war. Like literally, I could see my flesh like this, and I could see my spirit like this. And Chet and Tina like sat back and they held healthy space for me. They loved me. They listened to me. They pointed out where I was wrong, but then they pointed out where I was right. They acknowledged my feelings. They encouraged me to move forward. They saw the work that was going on in me, and that's all I needed was a little bit of encouragement to let go. Like, it's like the Holy Spirit that worked in them was helping my spirit let go of things that I needed to do. So that would be an outward way that the Holy Spirit teaches you. And I'm so thankful for the wisdom and strength of God because I definitely don't have it. I don't have it on my own. So that brings us to our final point here. How do we partner with him to receive his help? Well, there's just a couple ways. Number one, if you've never asked Christ into your heart, that would be step number one. We need to ask him into our lives for guidance. I would say that I didn't truly understand, and I'm not sure that, like, I want to say I understand how much God loves me, but I just don't know if I fully understand how much God loves me, if I'm being honest with you. But I'm here to tell you that he loves you just the way that you are. And he's going to do a good work in you. He is actively pursuing you. you have to be open to it. He actively pursued me to come to this church because after I was a young adult and I got married, I stopped going to church. And my dad, I shared this in a sermon I did last year, he was begging me to come to this church. And I'm like, no thanks. Like, I'm good. But he kept pursuing me through my dad, and I'm so grateful that he did. If you're here, it's not a mistake. If this is your first time here, this is not a mistake. You were pursued. You were sought out, and you were invited here. That's his love for you. As broken and messed up as we all are, he loves us. And because of that alone, I love him. That drives my desire to obey him. He says, if you keep my commandments and obey. It's hard, right? Like sometimes we're humans and we rip one guy up one side and down the other at a soccer field, okay? He still loves you and he's going to work with you. He's going to teach you to be better. So step number one is asking him into your life. And hey, number two, if you're a seasoned Christian, all right, you're like, okay, I already have God in my heart. I believe in him. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Are you engaging with him every day? Are you asking him to show up every day? And take it a step further. Are you listening to what he's calling you to do and taking the steps to obey that? That's what's hard. That's what was killing me all this year. I heard him, but I didn't want him. Or I heard him, and ooh, that's outside of my comfort zone. Well, here we are. I love him, and I want to obey him and trust him. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. He means that. He means what he says, and he follows through every single time. And I'm so thankful. I know that you will be thankful, too, if you take those steps. You know, we just had gift giving season. I hope Santa was good to you. Santa was good to me. But I always think back on my favorite gift that I ever got. And I'm just going to preface this a little bit. My husband and I, we had 4 kids under 5. It was a little crazy. I worked full time. I swear to our father, that I was pregnant and breastfeeding and potty training for a decade, you guys. I was exhausted. Any moms in the house with young, you don't even have to have 4. 1 is enough. Like, yes, we're exhausted. We're working full time. And that meant that I didn't have any time to take care of myself. And I love potatoes, too. It's not the sweets, you guys. It's the potatoes. If we have a mashed potato bar, sign me up. Okay. My husband, back to the gifts, was gracious enough to allow us to purchase a Peloton spinning bike. And I was so excited. I love cardio. I'm one of those sinners that like to run on any given day of the week. But as a young mom, I couldn't like leave the house. I needed something that I could do in the house. And he let me get this bike, and boy, did I take it for the ride of my life. I engaged in it. I saw physical changes in my body, my heart, my health, my endurance, my discipline, my strength. The bike turned into a treadmill, turned into barbells, turned into dumbbells. We have like a gym now. I'm so thankful. And that gift really showed me the beauty of engaging with something to make change. You know, that bike could have just sat there and it would have done no good. Right? But that doesn't mean if you just sit there that God's not going to do any good, because here's the thing, he's going to work in you whether you're on board or not. He is going to bring about change because he is God and you are not. But there's something more honorable and beautiful when you engage with him to do the hard work. Last service on Christmas Eve, one of my friends that I hadn't seen in a while came up. And you know how your phone or like social media will show you memories? Well, he said, Aubrey, this picture of you popped up from a life group thing. And he's like, you don't even look the same anymore. Thanks to, you know, like my physical activity that I was doing. I really put the work in, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, thank you so much. That photo popped up for me too, and it feels good to see the work. But man, it got me thinking, when I die and I get to be presented before God, I want to be unrecognizable. Not in my body, which I'm really excited for the one that I'm going to get, the new one, but like, I want to be unrecognizable in my heart and in my mind. And it's not going to be any doing of mine. It's going to be all God. So when I show up unrecognizable because of the work of the Holy Spirit from the day that he saved me, it's going to be so beautiful. And not just me, church, it's going to be you too. You're going to be transformed. So I want to take a moment here before we close as a church family to just bow your heads and close your eyes and just have the gratitude for our beautiful God who is in you. And hey, if you haven't accepted Christ into your heart, I pray that this is your moment right here. Just, Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you are pursuing me to save me, and I ask you into my heart. And maybe you've already done that, and you're saying to yourself, in 2025, I want to engage with the Spirit every single day of my life. I want you to transform me. I need help with this. I need help with that. I need you to transform me. And then you got to trust that he's going to do it. And then you got to obey what he's asking you to do. So can't we just take a moment here to partner with God in 2025? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the perfection of you. Thank you for loving us, for pursuing us, for sending your Son to model your love. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every single one of us, Father. I pray that we are on fire to engage with the Spirit more than we ever have been before. I pray that we seek you actively every single day without ceasing. And Father, I pray that by the end of 2025, we each have a special story, a unique story that reflects your love and your guidance and your teaching in our own individual lives. We love you, Father. I ask all these things in your name. Amen.